The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Did you hear about the visitor to the border yesterday? Former President Trump made a little visit to the southern border, had some words for the current administration and the state of the border in and of itself. Kamala Harris was in El Paso a few days previous. An area I read somewhere in the vicinity of about 800 miles away from really the epicenter where everything is happening. Of the many things former President Trump said yesterday, quote, a nation without borders is not a nation at all. And then he said other things. That sounds kind of biblical to me, right? Sovereignty. Should a nation be allowed to control its own borders and have laws? Well, I guess it depends on who you ask in this day and age. There was a story. See if I can find it real quick. Here's a nice little benefit of living in California. California taxpayers will soon be footing the health care bill for older illegal immigrants as part of a recently approved state budget. Budget deal will guarantee coverage for low-income, undocumented immigrants older than 50. I'm reading literally from the Epoch Times. Plan was initiated by Democrats who've said they want to ensure everyone has health care insurance. Coverage set to take in effect 2022 will cost taxpayers $1.3 billion per year. Nearly 1.3 million illegal immigrants under the age of 65 are among the uninsured population. When asked about the implementation, a spokesperson for Governor Gavin Newsom's office said that the governor believes all California residents deserve to be healthy. That's why he's pushing the shots. That's why he's spinning the wheel like a carnival barker. Oh, the spokesperson said, quote, Governor Newsom has made it clear that he supports health care for all regardless of immigration status. Since taking office, has advanced this goal while maintaining fiscal responsibility for future years, end quote. By the way, I'm hearing that we are going to have a special election on September the 14th. And you may be hearing a very special announcement in the next day or two or maybe three about someone that has thrown their name into the race. And if and when that's announced, I'll be the first one to share that information as well. 888-528-2557. Let's talk a little bit about liberty and freedom, shall we? I think it's something that maybe some of us say we want. Not all of us. There are people, I mean, here we are. We got undocumented, illegal, whatever the words we use these days, immigrants, aliens. They're going to get health care over 65 at our taxpayer expense. Do you have health care? Do you have health insurance? Not everybody does. That is a legal United States citizen. But freedom, as you know, the expression, freedom is not free. It does come at a cost. And I think there are some of us that, well, instead of fighting for it, we would rather be taken care of. The payoff is, oh, I don't want to get maybe out of my comfort zone. And we've had quite an attempt at a lot of the powers that be, especially with COVID, shutting down businesses, and you get your little checks in the mail. I don't have the stats in front of me about unemployment versus the amount of jobs that are available right now. I saw 8 million the other day, but some people don't want to go back to work because they're making more money sitting at home getting a government check than they are going back to work. What a time we live. Freedom, liberty. I have three men and their thoughts on, well, the realities of liberty. First is Pastor Rob McCoy.
We've had 244 years of unprecedented freedom. Why am I going to deny my children and my grandchildren? Mm-hmm. Our cowardice is selfish. Mm-hmm. Because a nation grows great whose citizens plant trees of the shade they'll never know. It's not about you and me. It's about the ones behind us.
Many of you know, Pastor Rob McCoy is senior pastor of Godspeak in Ventura County, and they have defied the governor primarily throughout this pandemic. His position is, from a Christian, you defy tyranny, which is a biblical position. There are some pastors that say just the opposite. No, you go belly up, you do Romans 13. But Rob, in many ways, has said, I think accurately and correctly, it's really not about us, it's about future generations and what we're leaving them. The expression, again, freedom is not free. It comes at a cost. Young, outspoken, intelligent, articulate, powerful Charlie Kirk talks about partly the problem by which more Americans don't push back and don't speak out.
Well, and we're playing along because so many of us, we have something to lose. So I think they're actually using our really nice lifestyle against us. So many people across America are saying, you know, I would speak out, but my kid might not get into college. I would speak out, but I might lose my country club membership. I would speak out, but I might not get a bonus from some corporation. So they are using our very comfortable lifestyle against us. And until Americans start to realize that this is going to cost you something to actually speak your mind and have some courage. And again, they want to limit the spectrum of acceptable political opinions. And insofar we play by their rules, we are always going to be playing catch up. That's why we must actually be the true ambassadors of free speech, not refereed speech.
The importance of free speech. And then there's Lance Wallnau, a man I really have an affinity toward. He's very intelligent. He's an author. I believe he's a Christian leader. Some don't like him at all. He's very self-deprecating and funny in some ways. But on the topic of liberty, Lance Wallnau shared this.
God is actually moving the church from a place of safety to a place of strength. He's moving us from a place of weakness to a place of confidence, and he's moving out. He's exposing those leaders that really can't lead for this next battle. Great leaders, you got to honor them. They honor them for what they are. A lot of them are pastors with business models for building big churches and edifying and strengthening the sheep. Nothing wrong with that. We need that. But if you're looking for George Patton, you're not going to find him necessarily in the stuff in Kleenex in the hands of people in a counseling session. Have you noticed? I'm saying the loss of liberty. The loss of liberty. Liberty is our number one angel. If you want to know what the angel of this nation is, or what the unique grace is, or what the unique gift is, what the unique anointing is, the unique purpose, it's liberty. That's why the Liberty Bell and the Statue of Liberty both have the same word, because it's freedom. And our mission is to proclaim freedom throughout the land, meaning planet Earth. We're really here for the propagation of the gospel. That's what America's destiny is. It isn't to manufacture cars or create sitcoms out of L.A. It's to preach the gospel and to support the work of the gospel globally. We just were stupid about guarding it in our own country. We thought, well, if we just preach and if we have revival and if we have enough people saved, well, Lance, everything takes care of itself. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Any more than if you just preach and have revival and get everyone saved in your family, your kids will grow up to be employed and your marriage will be wonderful. No, your marriage takes a certain different kind of exertion. Your children still require discipline, love, and attention, and you still got to go to work and pay the bills. The gospel of the kingdom covers all of life, not just your spiritual appetite. You got a physical appetite. You got an emotional appetite. And to grow, you actually have to be a total offer concept. And that includes modeling for other people how the kingdom operates on planet Earth. That's how do you keep a balanced budget? How do you have civic order? What are just laws versus crazy laws? And they reflect this. They reflect the Word of God. The Word of God covers all the areas of life, from hygiene in the Old Testament to justice, to marriage, to family. Don't simplify oversimplify what God has given or the earth and render the Word of God of no effect. God has a definition for genders. God has a definition for sexuality. God has a definition for economy. Science is a very unforgiving thing. You can't just put in whatever data you want and have it come out where you want it to go because you choose to believe what you choose to believe.
Lance Wall now. Let's pick up on what Lance shared near the end about God has an order for sexuality. God has an order for gender. God has an order in many ways. Made mention of this story the other day. Maybe you have some thoughts. For the first time in the pageant's history, the title of Miss Nevada USA has gone and won by a transgender woman. Cataluna Enriquez was crowned the winner over the weekend at the South Point Hotel Casino in Las Vegas. Miss Nevada is a 27-year-old biological man. Enriquez won the Miss Silver State USA pageant, and then will go on to compete for the Miss Nevada USA pageant. Look, when we start blurring the lines of gender, we originally went from, for thousands of years, two genders, male and female. That's biblical. And a few years ago, we started hearing a little more about, well, gender dysphoria, and fast forward now, went from, I don't know, 9 to 27 to 50 to hundreds of different genders. It's being taught to our children at institutions of higher learning, nod, nod, wink, wink, and they believe it. Somehow you are what you feel that you are. So Miss Nevada, Miss Cataluna Enriquez. And it's celebrated. Oh, we're not in June anymore. I missed it by a day, right? Celebrate Pride Month. Then there's Carl Nassib. I made mention of this story. NFL player. Come out as gay. Okay. If that's the way he chooses to live his life, I'm more worried about people's salvation and pray for them. But again, he's celebrated as being courageous and heroic. Not only that, you may have seen the NFL commercial, which I have to tell you, it's a visual, but I'll read you a little bit about what the prompter says. And it's, part of me wants to say it's a bit of a head-scratcher when you're talking about the NFL. But these days with professional sports and athletics, basketball, baseball, now football, whether it's this idea of sexual preference or the whole Black Lives Matter and racism, the 30-second commercial, if you've not seen it, begins with the graphic, football is gay. Football is lesbian. Football is beautiful. Football is queer. Football is life. Football is exciting. Football is culture. Football is transgender. Football is queer. Football is heart. Football is power. Football is tough. Football is bisexual. Football is strong. Football is freedom. Football is American. Football is accepting. Football is everything. Football is for everyone. This is an NFL official commercial that they released on social media. On Twitter, they said, quote, the NFL stands by the LGBTQ+ community today and every day. If you love this game, you're welcome here. Football is for all. Football is for everyone. Okay. I have some questions about that. Maybe I'll share it another time. But if football is all of that, begs the question, well, then what's different about football than the way culture is going? Right? Why not just change the sport? Military, they're having drag queen celebrations. Let's just change the whole game of football. Right? You've got, did you know the NFL has a senior director of diversity, equity, and inclusion? Wonder how much Sam Rappaport makes to push this nonsense. Quote, I'm proud of the clear message this spot sends to the NFL's LGBTQ plus fans. This game is unquestionably for you. I will be playing its first line over and over in my head all season. Which, by the way, is football is gay. Bet you didn't know that. It is an amazing time to be alive. And then, last story, and maybe we can take some calls. By the way, in terms of Carl Nassib, the Vegas defensive lineman who's celebrated now as a hero because he came out as gay, he said this was his truth. And society falls all over itself to celebrate him. His truth, not the truth. Think of the way culture attacks God, like somehow there are no absolute truths. I'm sure Carl Nassib is probably a really nice guy. That's a sexual preference. Okay. Sin is sin. I've got sin in my life. I'm not sitting here pointing the finger at him, talking about him burning in hell, but celebrating? And then there is Gwendolyn Berry, U.S. track and field athlete, hammer thrower. She finished third the other day in the Olympic trials. She is set to go to the Olympics. And on the podium, she said she felt like it was a setup that they played the national anthem. She turned away, put a T-shirt over her head, obviously made her statement. And I'm like, don't they play the national anthem on podiums? I mean, really, she was set up? But that's not even the point. After she said, I feel like they did that on purpose. As she stood on the podium, the national anthem unexpectedly played. She turned away from the American flag and placed a T-shirt that read activist athlete over her head. Here's a good question. Dan Crenshaw, who's from Texas, he's a congressman, says we don't need any more activist athletes, but he said we should remove her from the team because isn't the entire point of the Olympic team is to represent the United States of America? Isn't that the point? And you're going to get up there and you're going to condemn the country and make some political statement that it's about systemic racism, police brutality. And we say that's fine. Hey, football's gay. So look, everything is... doesn't matter. No standards anymore. Everything is all in. However you want to live your life, live your life. No standards, no morality, no worship of God. And a year ago, you may or may not know, the Olympic body said you could not do something like this on the stand. Now? Oh, they're like a year later. Man, it's all about, quote, being a beacon of inspiration and unity globally. Progress in our society, said USOPC's chief executive officer, Sarah Hirschlin. Were a year previous? They said not only was this a no-no, you're put on probation. So the world be a-changing. Do your own thing, we used to say in the 60s. 888-528-2557. Critical race theory in school. Teach your children to hate this country, to hate you as a parent. That racism is everywhere. The country was founded on racism. Define your own sexuality. Be free. Marriage can be between man and a man, woman and a woman. We've got throuples now. A dude and two women. Polygamy. Pedophilia. The push now is to normalize that. It's love. Love is love. Where does it stop? Last thing, I used this as an analogy yesterday. If you read the Bible in Revelation, Jesus is coming back actually to not give out free hugs and just hang out with sinners. He's going to come back and right all wrongs. And theologically, this probably isn't the most accurate or sound, but I have this image of Father God having his hand on Jesus saying, "Not yet, son. One more. Just let one more come to know who I am as their papa, that I love them. Not necessarily to keep them where they're at, but I love them and I want them to love me." He's fond of humanity. So much so that he sent his only son to hang on a tree for us, dying a horrific death. "Well, I can't follow a God that's that." Oh, my goodness. Okay, so follow yourself. Follow yourself. That's where we're at. And there are some of us that say, "No, no, no. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he loves you too." But you have to have a choice. You have to make a choice. You can't serve two masters. When we look at where society's going, it's kind of clear. We are living in California. This is Babylon West. Anything and everything, all good. Have a party. Laugh it up. Turn your back on God. I would rather get on my knees and thank God for saving me from myself. I am a sinner. I am decrepit. I've done things in my life without thinking twice. You talk about living for yourself. Oh, my goodness. My past, my testimony, I've ruined lives. I've gone to great lengths to ruin everything in my life. And yet God, the great redeemer of all, even people like Saul of Tarsus. And pray for the world. But if we as Christians don't exemplify Christ and count our faith at a cost and stand apart from the rest, woe is us. Woe to us. We're part of the same mindset. It's called lukewarm. The Bible's pretty clear what God's going to do with lukewarm. Your comments, your calls are welcome. 888-528-2557. We will continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In a little while, I'm going to read a letter that was sent a couple of years ago to then-President Trump that, to reread today, you may want to, spend a moment contemplating on what was said by an archbishop, then as it applies to also now. But let's take a few phone calls. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. Jamal is in Rancho. I wonder where Rancho, Rancho Cucamonga, Rancho Santa Margarita. Jamal, where are you?
Rancho Cucamonga, Frank.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. Every time I reach out to you, man, we have great conversation. But I just want to chime in really quick on some of the things you spoke about. Really being, obviously the sports arena right now with the agenda that's kind of being pushed. Obviously, before I'm black, I'm Christian. You know what I mean? So I am that doesn't ignore that I am black in America, and I do understand that we have issues and all these things, but it's just unfortunate because as a black man, I feel like we got duped. You know what I'm saying? It was this Black Lives Matter, this George Floyd thing, which when it first, you know, was brought to one side.
Oh, I think I lost you. Let me put you on. Oh, go ahead. Continue. Are you there?
Yeah. We were finally going to get the awareness or the attention or the respect that we felt like we deserved or was overdue just to find out that there was another agenda being pushed behind it. So it just sucks to see, you know, black people, especially being that this is my community, us get duped again. You know what I mean? This was never about Black Lives Matter or bring awareness. That's not what this is about. There's an agenda that's being pushed, and we were used again to do it.
Jamal, always a blessing to hear from you. Thank you for calling today. Jamal made reference to the George Floyd slaying and the idea of maybe some of the grievances would be addressed. John Cooper, of all people, a lead singer of a rock band, well, went to one of his podcasts, they call him Cooper Stuff, and shared this.
Things are changing. You guys know it. Things are changing. This is Cooper Stuff, 10-minute talk. I did not think we'd be doing another 10-minute talk a few days after the last one, by the way. But man, things are changing. This is weird, weird times. You guys already know it. All of you guys know it. Probably know it more than me. We've been talking about it on Cooper Stuff. People have been talking about it everywhere. Where is this going? I do not know. But we are in undoubtedly a strange time. I sometimes wonder, you know, when you read history and stuff and you read about revolutions and the people that survived or the people you see their journal entries. And I sometimes wonder, did all those people know there was revolution happening, or were they like, hey, we know there's revolution. Everybody needs to do this or do this. Or were some of the people like, hey, do things seem strange to you? They seem kind of strange to me. I don't really know if this happened. Am I being alarmist? Am I being extreme? Am I being a conspiracy theorist? There's a lot of that going on right now, right? It's been going on all year long. Tons of people have been talking about it. We've been talking about Cooper Stuff all summer long. Where is this going to go? There's a lot of crazy stuff happening. I want to share three things with you that you probably know is happening, but it's the playbook, and we should be ready for these things. John, is there any good news? Look. The only good news I have is the same thing I said on my Cooper Stuff episode from this week. God is in control, and God is going to bring glory to himself. I absolutely believe that. I believe that the gospel will be taken to the rest of the world. I believe that people will be saved. I believe that you cannot stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, I hope you have a physical Bible, because you're going to need it. You're going to need a physical Bible. Hope you have one. Go read Colossians. Take you like 10 minutes. You're going to read about the Apostle Paul in prison for his faith. But he's like, hey, all the Imperial Guard know that I'm here because of Christ. And that's a really good thing. The gospel is being advanced, he says. People that are imprisoning him actually getting converted to Christianity. Paul also says that there are brothers who are becoming more bold for their faith because I'm imprisoned. God's going to do great stuff no matter what it is. The gospel will be advanced. And that's the good news. We have hundreds of years of Christian martyrs, people that gave their lives for Christ, for the advance of the gospel. So when bad things happen, my faith is not shaken in that. But I think we have to understand that sometimes God purposes us to go through bad things in order that the gospel is advanced, to bring glory to his name. I don't know why. That's the way God wants it.
John Cooper is lead singer of the Christian rock band Skillet. Interesting perspective. 888-528-2557. We have callers on hold with wide and varied topics. Caesar in Pasadena, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. First-time caller, first-time listener today, actually.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I have a couple of things on my chest that I've been wanting to speak of ever since I was a little kid in high school. I'm 29 years old now. And I have two, I'm a father of two kids. And I've seen this play out as a big, it's just a big game to me. And we're all falling into the right, the correct pieces where they want us. The end goal is divide and conquer. They want all people fighting against each other for us not to question them and the things that they're pushing down our throats. Does that make any sense? This race war, this war on cops, this transgender issue, this whole transracial issue, the education of our children, the vaccines, the war on family men, you know, the men, the head of house, you know, the man, they're trying to destroy the family. They want us sitting down, watching TV. They want us obeying. They want us to eat unhealthy, to stop exercising. It's just, you know, I mean, for the vaccine issue, they're offering people free food. Who does that push towards? Obese people. They're offering drug addicts free joints. They're offering poor people money. They're catering to everybody's needs for us not to look or think the other way. Does that make any sense to you? I mean, do I sound crazy? Everyone I speak to around me thinks that I'm crazy.
Well, maybe you need to hang out with new people. I mean, it's irrelevant whether I think you make sense or not. In your soul, which I believe right now we are seeing a battle for the soul of people go on. Again, I have 2 hours every day on this program to talk about my concerns. But do you make sense? I would hope and pray that you know you make sense biblically and that you are speaking God's truth above all. Thank you, Caesar. I want to take a break and come back and read a letter that was written a few years ago by an archbishop. He saw concerns in the world, globalists. You know about the Great Reset. You may have heard of Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, but maybe you've never heard of the letter he wrote to then-President Donald Trump. I will read it to you as we return with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. I honestly don't know if I have enough time to read the entire letter that Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano wrote to then-President Trump about his concerns about the world and what was called the Great Reset and globalism. But let me jump right in and read as much of the letter as I can. I know many of you have heard of it. Maybe you've read excerpts, but I want to try to read as much as I can. This is an open letter to then the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. Archbishop Vigano wrote, "Mr. President, allow me to address you at this hour in which the fate of the whole world is being threatened by a global conspiracy against God and humanity. I write to you as an archbishop, as a successor of the apostles, as the former apostolic nuncio to the United States of America. I'm writing to you in the midst of the silence of both civil and religious authorities. May you accept these words of mine as the voice of the one crying out in the desert, as in John 1:23. As I said when I wrote my letter to you back in June, this historical moment sees the forces of evil aligned in a battle without quarter against the forces of good. Forces of evil that appear powerful and organized as they oppose the children of light, who are disoriented and disorganized, abandoned by their temporal and spiritual leaders. Daily, we sense the attacks multiplying of those who want to destroy the very basis of society, the natural family, respect for human life, love of country, freedom of education and business. We see heads of nations and religious leaders pandering to this suicide of Western culture and its Christian soul. While the fundamental rights of citizens and believers are denied in the name of a health emergency, that is revealing itself more and more fully as instrumental to the establishment of an inhuman, faceless tyranny. A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of entire populations. In several nations, this plan has already been approved and financed. In others, it is still in its early stage. Behind the world leaders who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201 promoting their agenda. Purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures hidden behind tempted promises of ensuring a universal income, and canceling individual debt. Price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and the adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21 promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. Beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccination will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport, a digital ID, with a consequent contact tracing of the population of the entire world. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated. Mr. President, I imagine that you are already aware that in some countries, the Great Reset will be activated between the end of this year and the first trimester of 2021. For this purpose, further lockdowns are planned, which will be officially justified by a supposed second and third wave of the pandemic. You're well aware of the means that have been deployed to sow panic and legitimize draconian limitations on individual liberties, artfully provoking a worldwide economic crisis. In the intentions of its architects, this crisis will serve to make the recourse of nations to the Great Reset irreversible, thereby giving the final blow to a world whose existence and very memory they want to completely cancel. And then I want to jump down a bit. What is surprising is that there is no one to sound the alarm. The reaction of the deep state to those who denounce its plan is broken and incoherent, but understandable. Just when the complicity of the mainstream media has succeeded in making the transition, all sorts of deceptions, scandals, and crimes are coming to light. In the midst of this bleak picture, this apparently unstoppable advance of the invisible enemy, an element of hope emerges. The adversary does not know how to love. It does not understand that it is not enough to assure a universal income or to cancel mortgages in order to subjugate the masses and convince them to be branded like cattle. This people, which for too long has endured the abuses of a hateful and tyrannical power, is rediscovering that it has a soul. It is understanding that it is not willing to exchange its freedom for the homogenization and cancellation of its identity. It's beginning to understand the value of familial and social ties, of the bonds of faith and culture that unite honest people. The Great Reset is destined to fail because those who planned it do not understand that there are still people ready to take to the streets to defend their rights, to protect their loved ones, to give a future to their children and grandchildren. The leveling inhumanity of the globalist project will shatter miserably in the face of the firm and courageous opposition of the children of light. The enemy has Satan on its side, he who only knows how to hate. But on our side, we have the Lord Almighty, the God of armies arrayed for battle, who will crush the head of the ancient serpent. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And Vigano writes, finally, Mr. President, you are well aware that in this crucial hour, the United States of America is considered the defending wall against which the war declared by the advocates of globalism has been unleashed. Place your trust in the Lord, strengthened by the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. To be an instrument of divine providence is a great responsibility, for which you will certainly receive all the graces of state that you need, since they are being fervently implored for you by the many people who support you with their prayers. With this heavenly hope and the assurance of my prayer for you, for the First Lady, and for your collaborators, with all my heart I send you my blessing. God bless the United States of America, Carlo Maria Vigano, Archbishop of Ulpiana, former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States of America. This was written, I think it was 2018. I don't know the actual date, but let me share a closing comment. Caesar kind of said it a few moments ago. It's happening. Things are changing. This is a battle. But don't buy into the false spirit of fear. This is a war propagated spiritually, whose main goal is to attempt to terrorize you to the point where you will give up your very soul spiritually. Do not do it. This is a battle between good and evil. And for those of us that profess faith in Christ, don't be caught up in the deception or the delusion. Jesus is Lord. Get deep in the Word of God. Pray to the Holy Spirit to lead you. And then my prayer is, as Vigano said, scores of men and women will be courageous enough to take to the streets, stand for truth, stand for justice, and stand against the evils from hell that we're seeing all around us. But do not be afraid. There's nothing to fear. God is not a God of fear. He's a God of order. And he's not missing anything. Father, I just pray to you in this moment. I read Archbishop's words in a letter that was written a couple years ago. There's so much going on, Lord. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear spiritually through your fire and your power so we can maybe look anew out to what's going on in our country and our world and our community and go, oh my goodness, I missed all of that. But Lord, I pray that you'll bless us with an undeniable knowledge and experience that you are with us. This isn't about us. This is about you and us serving you. I pray for anyone listening to my voice right now that may not know you, Jesus. There is so much attack and confusion, but ultimately, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This has already been done for all of us. And I ask, Lord, that you forgive us for our sin, for our willful ignorance, for an array of sins that can be miles and miles long. Lord, I thank you for the blood on the cross. We believe we are sanctified through your sacrifice, and we have the authority to rebuke the evil one. May men and women continue to rebuke the evil one, and may we fight this battle boldly in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this in your precious name, and I say amen. You are welcome to email me at franksontag@kkla.com. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow. You never know. By the way, if you're not on my mailing list, I strongly urge you to do just that. Go to franksontag.com and just sign up for the mailing list. God bless you. I love you. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. This is the Frank Sontag Show.